What's up, guys? I'm Wes. We are the Crossings Church Collinsville. We're a new church in Collinsville. We have something going on here called Real Truth Cinema. If you haven't heard what that is, a lot of us came up here yesterday and took in the film Simon Birch. Who in here has not seen Simon Birch? Everybody has seen Simon Birch, except for these two. Okay. Pretty much everybody. This is a great film. If you have not taken it in, I would recommend you do. It came out back in the 90s. And what we're doing for the next couple of weeks here, this week and then the next 2 weeks, is we're going to be showing a film on Saturday. The times are on here, 11:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. So we got an early and late show. So next Saturday, come check out the show. And then Sunday, what we're going to be doing is taking some spiritual themes that we find in those movies and talking about the truth from the Bible on Sunday morning and how this stuff applies to our lives. Now, this is no different than what the apostles did in the New Testament. If you're like, that's kind of gimmicky, that's kind of weird, why would you do that? Well, sometimes as a teaching tool, the apostles and even Jesus would quote a line, or they would use as an illustration something from popular culture that people in the area were familiar with. There are instances where they quoted popular books, popular poets, and they would say, okay, here's what your poet says. Here's the spiritual truth that we see. Even though this poem was about Zeus or something else we don't agree with, here's some spiritual truth where I can teach you something about God. And so that's kind of what we're doing here. And one of the big themes that we see in the film that we watched yesterday is that Simon believes he's going to be a hero. Now, if you don't know Simon, if you haven't seen the movie, Simon Birch is disabled. He's a little bitty guy. He's born with an undersized heart. He's got all kinds of health problems. They don't expect him to live. And then the story in the movie is about his relationship with his best friend, Joe, and kind of what happens along the course of the way. But Simon always believes that he's going to be a hero. Now, I know when I was a little kid, I wanted to be a hero. Anybody in here identify with this, especially anybody who maybe grew up in the 80s with Superman and He-Man and Hulk Hogan and Mike Tyson before he was a rapist, you know, like all those things. I wanted to be a hero. I remember my Aunt Sandy, when I was 4 years old, bought me Superman underwear for Christmas, and I wore those things around like I just felt like I could jump higher, I could run faster, I could beat up the bad guys that much better as long as I was wearing my Superman underwear, right? I just identified with that. And there's something that's timelessly attractive about superheroes. They're brave. They give their lives for the sake of others. They're out to save others. And there's just something that's attractive about that. Well, Simon Birch wanted to be a hero. But here's the thing. He believed God was going to make him one. Let's go ahead and watch that first clip.
A baby turtle is cute. Girls don't kiss baby turtles.
How do you know?
I just know. If you were me, you know too. But things will be different once God makes me a hero.
Yeah, you shouldn't talk about this hero stuff, Simon.
Why not?
Because it's weird. The other kids tease you enough as it is.
I don't care. It's the truth.
But you don't have any proof.
I don't need proof. I have faith. Your problem is that you have no faith.
We got faith. Just want proof to back it up.
So Simon and Joe are having a dialogue there, and it might have been cut off right at the beginning, but at the beginning of that clip, Simon says, things are going to be different when God makes me a hero. There's this expectation in little Simon Birch's mind that God is going to do something in his life. He's going to use him in a heroic way in his life. And even though the people around him aren't necessarily agreeing, even like his best friend Joe is like, man, why don't you shut up about that, Simon? You get made fun of enough as it is. Just be quiet about this hero stuff. Simon's like, I don't care. God's going to make me a hero. He holds on to this faith. And so if I want to be a real hero, and here's the thing, God wants to make us heroes. Okay, we're going to talk more about that as we go. But if I want to be a real hero, I'm going to give you an acronym this morning, okay? The H in your hero acronym, and there are notes in your bulletin. If you want to pull those out, it's going to have the scriptures that we're going to look at on there and a place for you to take notes. The H, the first blank is I need to hang on to my faith. This is one of the truths we pick up from Simon Birch that is reinforced in Scripture. If I want to be a hero, I need to hang on to my faith. And here's the thing, faith is vital when it comes to a relationship with God, when it comes to being the person God created us to be, when it comes to being a hero in the lives of others, when it comes to being like Jesus, we need faith. We have to have faith. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 1 and verse 6, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And look at this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You might make a note or underline the word impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, there was something that Joe said in that exchange there where he said, I have faith, but I also want proof. Okay, I actually agree with that sentiment because faith a lot of times is understood by people to be like blind. Like faith is just sort of this blind faith. Look, guys, faith is not belief without evidence. Even here in this passage in Hebrews, in what we call the Faith Hall of Fame, the Hebrew writer goes on to describe the faith of heroes in the scriptures, like Abraham, and you know, just he goes through this list of characters. Guys, they didn't do the things they did by faith without evidence. And I don't believe God expects us just to jump headlong into blind faith. The truth is, he gives us evidence where we can look and say, okay, I should believe these things, okay? And we're not going to get into all of those things this morning in this lesson, but I'm just here to say, faith is not blind, okay? There's evidence to back up what we believe. And also, faith is not simply about belief. It's not simply belief. It says in James 2, but some will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there's one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Okay? What James says there about faith is that faith is not simply about mental assent. It's not, I believe God is in heaven, and therefore I'm good with God. What James teaches us, and other parts of the Bible teach us, is that whenever we have true faith, it's not simply about believing certain things, it's about action as well. Amen? Now, we teach here at the Crossings that faith is encompassed by four things. We teach that faith is encompassed by, number one, belief. Okay, that is the mental assent. But number two, trust. Number three, loyalty. And number four, obedience. And honestly, whenever you get into the language that the Bible was originally written in, faith is better understood as allegiance than it is simply what our word faith or belief is. Because whenever we say faith or belief, a lot of times we just go into the mental realm. Allegiance encompasses the mental realm, but also action as well. That's biblical faith. It's allegiance. This is something that we see that shows up in the life of Simon Birch. He never lets go of his faith. But it goes beyond just a belief. There's also this allegiance. And we've got to be aware and beware of common faith busters. In the movie, Simon had a lot of reasons not to have faith. He had a lot of them. Maybe you do too, okay? We're going to look at a few of these. Beware of common faith busters. The first one I'd like to look at is my family may hinder my faith. My family may hinder my faith. Let's go ahead and play that next clip so we can see how Simon's family hindered his faith.
Simon Birch was the smallest delivery ever recorded in the history of Gravestown Memorial Hospital.
Okay, Mrs. Birch, the nurse is going to give you a shot here to help with the pain, and then we'll get started.
Okay.
Gesundheit.
Oh, doctor!
Simon's father owned the Birch Granite Company. Mr. Birch was a big believer in the rock, and just about everything in their house was made from granite, including Mr. Birch.
Excuse us, please.
Along with just about everything else, Simon was born with an undersized heart. The prognosis wasn't good, and Dr. Wells warned the Birches that Simon probably wouldn't last through the night.
Fit right there in the palm of my hand.
But he did. Still, the complications seemed too great, and Dr. Wells warned the Birches that Simon probably wouldn't last through the week. But he did. The Birches didn't know what to make of their peculiar little disappointment. So they made nothing of him. At all.
You might notice there at the end, the narrator refers to Simon as their peculiar little disappointment. And if you watch the rest of the movie, that's kind of how they treated him. That's how Simon's family treated him. It's almost like they wish he had died when he was younger. And that he was just kind of a bother, and they were unconcerned and uncaring. When you are born into a family where you don't get your needs met, when you don't get the love that you should get, when you don't get the nurturing that you should get, you tend to grow up to be a person who blames God for that. Because we talked about this a little bit last week, but when God is the ultimate authority, it becomes very logical to blame him for everything, because who has the power to change it? It's very easy to do that, and it's very easy to lose your faith or to struggle with your faith because of your struggles with your family. We don't see Simon doing that. Despite his family, he moves forward, and he's a person of faith. Another group that might make you struggle is the faithful, quote unquote. The faithful may hinder my faith. When I say faithful, that's in quotes because we're talking about religious people. Simon Birch had a lot of religious people in his life. Some of them weren't very helpful to him.
Teach you how to keep quiet during Mass. What am I saying? Of course you didn't.
Your parents don't go to church, do they, Simon?
See, that's because they don't belong here. And neither do you. Speaking out of turn, disrupting the class, telling the other children that God has a special plan for you. What kind of nonsense is that?
And what kind of nonsense is this?
Hello, Rebecca.
Come on, Simon.
No, wait, I was teaching him a lesson.
And what lesson is that? Humiliation?
Oh, man, this is so pointless.
This is all my fault.
Hey, don't take all the credit. She's my mom.
Telling the children that he's some kind of hero, that he's God's instrument.
And who's to say he isn't?
Who do you think would win in a fight?
Good question. Miss Levy's meaner, but she's a smoker. Your mom could outlast her.
We can't have him talking that way. It frightens the other children.
Oh, I think it's you it frightens, Miss Levy.
What? Why would I be frightened of little Simon Birch?
Because that child has more faith than you'll ever know.
So we see Simon's Bible class teacher there, and there are other scenes where religious people in Simon's life, they're not building up his faith, they're tearing it down. Your talk about being God's instrument, your talk about God having a plan for you is frightening the other children. Why don't you just sit down and shut up? In fact, you don't even really belong here. Now, when Jesus got upset in the scriptures, he got the most frustrated and the most upset by the religious people in his day who were closing the door of heaven in the people's faces around there because they saw people as unclean and unworthy. They looked down their noses at people and they treated people poorly. That is completely and totally counter to the way of God and the way of Jesus. And that's what we see here in this illustration in Simon's church. But guess what? Simon did not let that derail his faith, even though it could have. Another group that might hinder your faith is my friends may hinder my faith. Now, you might have noticed in that last scene, the Bible class teacher is confronted by Miss Wentworth. Now, Miss Wentworth is kind of the hot mom. It's Joe's mom. Simon is very attracted to her. But he also loves her because she treats him like a mother. She is, even though she's not biologically Simon's mother, she gives him the care and the attention that a mother should give a child. And so he loves her very, very much, just like Joe loves her very, very much. She was a mother figure for both of them. There's a tragic incident in the middle of the movie. The woman who showed him the most love in life, well, Simon was on the baseball team for the local baseball club, and he hit a baseball that was a foul ball and hit her in the head, and she tragically dies in the middle of the movie. So Joe's mother passes away, Simon's mother figure passes away, and it's because Simon hit a foul ball. Now, Simon has this period of time where he and Joe have a period of separation because of this, because Joe, in the middle of his grief, is just grieving. Simon feels so guilty and so bad because it was his foul ball that killed Miss Wentworth that he doesn't want to get near Joe. And there's this coming together after a while where they get back together and they have this conversation. And I'm going to play a clip here to show that conversation to you.
I'm sorry, Joe. It was out of my hands.
What do you mean?
I'm God's instrument. I wish it was someone else, but he wanted it to be me.
Simon, it was an accident.
There are no accidents. God has a plan for all of us.
There's no plan, Simon. Don't you understand that by now?
But God...
There is no God. It's like believing in Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny.
Don't say that.
My mom is dead because she got hit by a baseball, and you're small because you were born a sick baby. That's it. Just stop trying to make sense of it all if you can.
Joe?
We see in this little exchange that despite the tragedy, Simon is still committed to seeing a resolution to this. Joe has gone the other way. He's saying, no, there's not a God. There's no reason for anything. Simon's like, no, there is. Now, I just want to point out, guys, I do not believe that every single thing that happens in the world is God's will necessarily. And I say that because when I read the Bible, God often says, that's not my will. About various things. Now, he is ultimately in charge, but we also live in this broken, jacked up world where bad things happen. That doesn't mean that the God is the author of every single tragedy or every single bad thing that happens. He weeps with us when we weep. But the Bible does teach that God will bring good out of anything that happens. Okay? So I would say it maybe a little bit differently than the filmmakers put this through the character of Simon. God will bring good out of it, though. And so we ultimately can lean into faith, but doubting friends can cause us to struggle. We don't see that happening to Simon. You want to know what did make Simon struggle, though? This is the last one on this section. It's my failures may hinder my faith. My failures may hinder my faith. There's an incident, we'll just say the baby Jesus incident, if you haven't seen the movie. Simon screws up pretty bad, makes a big mistake, and it's this failure that causes him to struggle. Let's play the next clip.
Simon, what I'm trying to say is that all of us around here, well, we need a break from you. So, once this all simmers down and Marjorie Albright's father accepts your apology, we'll talk about you coming back.
What about the retreat?
Joe will go alone. And it's about time I had a talk with him, too. Simon, I'm sorry. But as the Bible says, there is severe discipline for him who forsakes the way.
To impose a fine on a righteous man is not good. To flog noblemen is wrong.
Proverbs 17, verse 26. That's very good, Simon. But perhaps you know this one as well. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him.
Good sense makes a man slow to anger.
Simon.
And it is glory to overlook the offense.
Simon, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say?
I want to know that there's a reason for things. I used to be certain, but now I'm not so sure. I want you to tell me that God has a plan for me. A plan for all of us. Please.
Simon. I can't.
So it's after this failure that we see this character in Simon Birch that had been this stable bastion of faith. Up to this point, he's starting to doubt. You might notice he said, I used to think God had a plan for everything, but now I'm not so sure. That was after his failure. Life's greatest failures are the times where we will doubt the most. Whenever we've screwed up the most is when we'll doubt the most. But let me suggest that failure is not in struggle. Failure is giving up. And that's something that Simon ultimately does not do. Even though he struggles, he doesn't just let go of his faith. He doesn't give up. And what kept Simon from ultimately giving up and kept him hanging on is the next letter in our acronym. The E is, if I want to be a real hero, I must embrace my weakness. I must embrace my weakness. Simon believed that God had a plan for his life, despite his disabilities, despite his weaknesses, despite the struggles that he had. He believed that God had a plan for him and that God was going to use him in the world. He understood that he was physically weak, but like other heroes of the faith in the Bible, he understood that God works powerfully through weakness. This is something that the Apostle Paul writes about. Now, Paul, whenever he was dealing with the Corinthian church, he wrote 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians in the New Testament. The Corinthians felt like the Apostle Paul wasn't as impressive as he needed to be. They felt like he wasn't as powerful of a speaker, or his physical presence wasn't as impressive as was up to their standards. And so Paul says that God purposely chooses what is weak, what the world considers weak, in order to put powerful men to shame, in 1 Corinthians 1:27. I must remember that God works through weakness. I must remember that God works through weakness. We see this throughout the story of the Bible. We talk about this a lot here at the Crossings. The people that God chooses to use for the greatest things in the Bible are often the weakest looking, where the world looks and they're like, what in the world? And everybody's like, yep, must be God working through them. You see this in choosing the nation of Israel, right? We talked about this with Gideon a few weeks ago. Even look at Jesus. Man, if the king of everything is going to come into the world, do you think he would come into a poor family in a nation that's being oppressed, right? Doesn't make any sense, but that's how God works. So how do I embrace this weakness and use it? Well, first, I will admit my weakness. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 7:9, so now I am glad to boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may work through me. So Paul is saying this to this group of people who didn't like that he was weak. He's like, man, not only am I weak, I'm going to boast about my weakness. So he admits it. You also need to appreciate your weakness. I will appreciate my weakness. Paul says, I have cheerfully made up my mind to be proud of my weakness, because they mean a deeper experience of the power of Christ. He's saying, if I were strong, I wouldn't need Jesus, but I'm happy to admit how weak I am because it means I need Jesus that much more. And it's important for you guys to know how much you need Jesus too. I'm not going to pretend to be strong when I'm not. That's what he says. Last, I will apply my weakness. I will apply my weakness. He says in 2 Corinthians 1:4, he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Now, there's a principle here, guys, that's very important for you to get. Some of you have been coming to the Crossings for a while, maybe listening to my preaching when I get up here. You're like, man, that guy talks about being sexually abused a lot. That guy talks about being addicted to drugs and struggling like with that stuff a lot. You want to know why I talk about that stuff? I talk about the worst stuff that's happened to me. I talk about the worst struggles that I've had in my life, where I almost killed myself, where I've struggled with addiction, where I started being sexually abused when I was like 3, and that went on for years, and here's all the fallout that happened in my life because of that. I talk about that stuff because I want to tell you how God worked in me through it. I want to tell you how God gave me comfort through it. You want to know why? Because that's how people get hope. When they're like, I've never had anything like that happen to me. You're telling me God can give somebody comfort through that? Well, maybe God can give me comfort through this, right? It's important that you learn to embrace your darkness, because God will take your darkness and turn it into light. That's what he's in the business of. And whenever you embrace your weakness, whenever you lean into it and you lean into God and take the comfort that he's got in store for you and that he's giving you, it gives the world hope, because they're like, man, I'm hurt and I need comfort, I need help. It's through you that people are able to get that. Simon is a kid that even though he had all these disabilities and all these weaknesses, man, he still leaned into his faith. He embraced those weaknesses, not as a hindrance. Do you think he liked being disabled? No, he didn't like it. But despite it, he still knew that despite his physical limitations, God is not limited by physical limitations. Isn't that good news? The R, if I want to be a real hero, I must remember that God is in control. I must remember that God is in control. It says in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I want to point out there, it says all things. Did you guys know it doesn't say some things? Now, wouldn't this change it? If it said, in some things, God works for the good of those, wouldn't that change this whole, like, thing? Not that thing over there. He doesn't work in that thing over there. He works in this, but not that thing over there. Or, this is too bad. This is out of bounds. He can't work in this. It's not how it works, man. The worst stuff. The worst stuff. The worst tragedy. The worst trauma. The worst diagnosis. The worst loss. He works in it. You say, I'm in the middle of it. I can't see it. Can't see it? Guys, he can do it. He will do it. Trust me. And trust him. He will do it. And the fact that this little kid in this movie saw purpose behind everything, like he kills his friend's mom on accident. He goes and says, God's in control. God's in control. He still sees God's in control. How difficult is that when you're in the middle of it? I've failed there. Maybe you have too. Maybe you're more like Joe. Guys, I was more like Joe. Whenever I went through my mess, whenever I started learning how messed up I was, it's the Holy Spirit. He's just saying hi, guys. It's cool. Whenever I learned how messed up I was, you want to know what? I struggled with my faith horribly because what kind of a God allows little kids to get molested like I was? How can he be good? How can good come out of this? And I've told some of you this story, but I sat across from one of my spiritual mentors and I was expressing my anger and near hatred for God at that point in my life. This man had been abused like I was, but he was about 30 years further down the road from dealing with it. And he said, you want to know what? If you could take a magic like VCR remote and just rewind your life to that point where you were abused, would you go back and change anything? And I said, why are you even asking me that? Of course I would. I would go back and not be abused. And he was like, you want to know what? I would not for my life. And I looked at him like he was a space alien. What are you talking about? And he said, the reason I would not is because I'm further down the road than you are, and what I have been able to do as a result of that trauma is help other people that have dealt with it. And so when I think about my abuse, I don't think about the abuse. When I think about my abuse, I think about the names and the faces of people that I've been able to give hope to over the years. And if I went back and took that trauma away from my life, I wouldn't be able to help those people the way that God has been able to use me to help them. And I was like, wow. And it changed my perspective on a lot of things. God can make all things work together for good. Even things like that, whenever we keep faith and when we lean into him for comfort. Lastly, your O. If I want to be a real hero, I must offer my all. I must offer my all. We're going to play a clip. It's going to be a little longer than the other ones, but it's going to show you how Simon ultimately offered his all.
Yeah. You're a hero. Simon Birch. The kids okay?
Yeah.
They all made it?
Even Stuart.
Did you see how the children listened to me because of the way I looked?
Yeah.
That one was just my size.
Extra small.
Extra small. I was over 200, Mississippi.
Nobody likes to show off.
Promise me.
Yeah.
You'll take my baseball cards.
No.
Take them and share them with Ben. Please.
Okay. I promise. Simon. Best friend I ever had.
I know that's stupid. Joe?
Yeah.
Gotta go now.
Okay. See you later, alligator.
So you might notice there at the end, Simon turned out to be right, didn't he? Did you see how the kids listened to me because of the way I look? Did you see how that window was just my size? You know, I said earlier in the movie, girls don't kiss baby turtles. They think I'm cute like a baby turtle. But girls kiss heroes, right? By the end of the movie, all of the things Simon had been saying about being God's instrument, about God was going to make me a hero. Turns out he was right. And we said at the beginning that there are some timeless characteristics in heroes that are attractive to all of us, about heroes who are brave. You know, they show courage despite bad circumstances or despite fear. Heroes who are selfless, where they're thinking about others instead of themselves, even their own personal safety sometimes. And heroes that save others. Those are characteristics that are timeless, that are attractive, that are always going to be timeless and are always going to be attractive. And those are the characteristics that we see in little Simon Birch. And Simon, while he's inspiration to us, we need to remember, just like Superman, just like a lot of the other superheroes that we look at in movies and in comic books and on TV, Simon Birch was a fictional character. You want to know who's not a fictional character? Jesus Christ. And all of the characteristics that we see of heroism that are timeless, that are attractive to us, we see in Jesus Christ. It says in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Guys, isn't that heroic? And if you and I have any chance in this world at all, it's only because of Him and not because of us. The reason we can't have fellowship with God in our current state is because of our sin. Whenever we sin, God's word teaches us that our fellowship with God is severed. We are cut off from the source of life and from the source of light and from the source of all things good. It's only when we get that sin taken care of that we're able to have fellowship with God. Jesus, like the hero that he is, came from heaven into the world, made himself a human being, lived a perfect life, didn't sin a single time, taught, healed, brought people into fellowship with the Lord, teaching them that God is caring and loving and he wants relationship and he wants to be close. He had resistance from the people of his day, especially religious people who didn't see it that way. And they thought God was only for the clean people like them, not these unclean people. And God wouldn't make you clean. There's just no way. He didn't want anything to do with you. Jesus taught something different. And as a result of that, Jesus was falsely tried. He was accused. He was crucified on a cross. And he died there. But he didn't stay dead, did he? And one of the things that is super duper significant for us is that I mentioned earlier, we can't have fellowship with God because of our sin. Well, Jesus gives us a way out of that on the cross. And we celebrate this every week in communion. We're going to take communion here. We're going to sing a song here in just a second after I pray. Jesus instituted this for his disciples way back before he was crucified. He told his disciples, I want you to take bread, break it, and take it in remembrance of me. I want you to take this fruit of the vine and drink it in remembrance of me. This is my body that's going to be broken for you. This is my blood that's going to be spilled for you. They wouldn't have understood at the time, but after the crucifixion and his death, burial, and resurrection, this would have all made sense. See, Jesus teaches us that he takes our sin onto himself, and he gives us his righteousness. He takes our death onto himself, and he gives us his life. He takes our punishment onto himself, and he gives us all of his blessings through the cross. You and I have an opportunity to have fellowship with God because Jesus paid our debt by what he did. He is the hero. Let me pray for us, and then we'll move on. God, I want to thank you for the cross. I want to thank you for a reminder every week, Lord, that we need your body and blood that was broken for us, because we don't have hope without your sacrifice. We need your intervention because we don't have a way to be right on our own. We need your help. But Jesus, not only do you give us your help, you willingly give us your help. You go above and beyond to make a way for us to have fellowship with the Lord, to have eternity with you, to have all the blessings you deserve and we don't. But God, in your graciousness, you give us a chance. I pray as we take communion together this morning, we will remember how much you love us, how much you sacrificed, and that it will motivate us to make the changes we need to make in order to honor you with our lives. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. When we embrace this salvation that God offers us and become a disciple, there's really only one path forward. Our last verse that I want to look at today is from Galatians 2:20. This is the Apostle Paul writing this. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Notice he says, I've been crucified with Christ. I don't live anymore. Jesus is living through me. Jesus has taken over my life and he's living through me. You guys realize that's what it means to be a Christian. Christian just means little Christ. That's all it means. Disciple means I'm a student of Jesus trying to become like Jesus. That's all that means. Okay? That's how it's presented. So whenever we give our lives to him, we are trying to think like him. We're trying to be selfless like him. We're trying to think about others like him. We're trying to help people like him. We're trying to honor God like him. We're trying to know the Bible like him. We're trying to do life like him. Amen? Did you guys know that's the way to have the best life? Did you know Jesus knows how to live your life better than you do? Did you know all the dumb stuff that I've done, and maybe you've done some dumb stuff too, wouldn't have been done by him? And if he was in control, maybe some of these things would turn out a little differently. But there's really, really good news. If anybody in here has ever screwed up, or if you're screwing up, did you know it's not too late to let him have a little bit of that control? In fact, it's not too late to let him have all of that control. And I guarantee you, if you want the best life possible is wrapped up in letting him have the most control. Right? And you want to know the really good news? You don't have to do that on your own. It was his idea for the church to exist. And so what I want to do this morning is give you guys an opportunity to respond. And I just want to say, before I tell you what that's going to be, I want to once again plug this, okay? We've got another film that we're going to show next Saturday. We're going to show The Kid Who Would Become King. Good little film. Jake is going to teach the lesson next Sunday on that. It's going to be a similar format to what we did here, but we want everybody to come see that movie with us, and then we want everybody to come back Sunday, and we want everybody to bring friends, okay? We're going to have free popcorn, free candy, free drinks. Everything is free. So if you want to come and bring your family or bring your friends or you students, you want to get a bunch of people from SIUE to come, we just want to fill this place up, okay? So come 11:30 or 6:30 next week to watch the movie, and then Sunday at 10 o'clock to take in the film together and to kind of see the spiritual applications that we're going to draw from that. You guys may also notice we've got some posters up here. Now, these three in the middle are just promotional posters for the film that we're watching. But the rest of these posters up here, this is original art that some of our members made in the form of movie posters. I want to encourage you guys to come look at this, because this is spiritually significant stuff that represents what has been in the hearts of some of our church members. I love this kind of stuff. And if you're an artist here, and if you got some spiritually significant art that you want to make, I'm really hoping we can hang these around, that they won't just be here for the series. Maybe we can keep these in the building. If you are an artist and have something like this that you'd like to create, I would love that. Now, whose is this down here on the end that fell down? Reggie's? We know who God likes the least, okay? All right. No, I'm just kidding. Jesus loves even Reggie. Seriously, though, I do want to give you guys an opportunity to respond this morning, okay? You've got a communication card in your bulletin. It says The Crossings Church, Collinsville on one side. On the other side, it's got a space for you to fill out your information. I want to encourage you, if you're just checking out The Crossings and you're like, man, how do I jump in here? I want to encourage you to fill this card out, whether you're a member or whether you're just checking it out, okay? If you want to jump in with both feet, if you're like, man, I like this church, I want to join, what's my next step? Well, your next step is going to be a Bible study. We study the Bible with every single person that comes into our group here. And the reason we do that is because all of us come from different backgrounds. We've got different hurts. We've got different things we've learned over the years, different things we've been taught. We like to have just a blank slate. We like to jump in like, hey, let's start this out right. Let's look into the scriptures and just talk about how this stuff applies to our lives. Now, Bible study sounds formal. Guys, it's not. Whenever we say we're going to study the Bible with you, one or two of our folks are going to sit down across the table, open up the Bible, look at a passage of scripture and say, what do you think about that? Or how do we live this out? And you guys sit there and talk about it. It's not formal. It's pretty informal. And it's a way for us to get to know you. It's a way for us to get to know your story. And it's a way for you to get to know us and to have a relationship that really starts out rooted in God's Word. And so that's why we do it that way, whether you come from another church or whether you're just investigating faith. Speaking of investigating faith, if you're not really sure if there's a God and you want to talk with somebody about that, also indicate on here that you'd like a personal Bible study. Those will answer your questions. We are a church of small groups. The best thing we've got going here at The Crossings is our small group ministry. In addition to meeting here on Sundays, we also have smaller groups that meet throughout the week. We've got discipleship groups for men, discipleship groups for women. We've got small groups for our campus ministry. We've got small groups for our youth ministry. All of us have a group that we're a part of that are members. And those small group leaders are basically your pastors. So we've got a lot of trained leaders here at The Crossings. We make sure that everybody's needs are met through those small groups, because it's good to get together on Sunday and, you know, like this big assembly. But, it's hard for us all to get to really know one another deeply in a group this big. So we break it down and make it a little smaller just because we want to make sure every single person is getting taken care of. And so that pastoral care and a lot of those needs get met through those groups. If you're interested in learning more about small groups, just indicate that on your card and we will get you plugged in. Guys, I mentioned this morning that I've been sexually abused. I could tell you a lot more garbage about myself. We have resources here at The Crossings to help people with all kinds of traumas. We've got resources to help with people who have suffered from childhood sexual abuse. We have resources to help people who are dealing with severe grief and unresolved grief. We have resources to help people that kind of like Simon Birch came from a traumatic family background. We've got resources to help with that. If you want to tap into any of our other healing resources that we have here at the Crossings, where we take God's word, we plug you into a community, and we help you get the help that you need and maybe some answers that you need, indicate that on your card. If you have prayer needs, indicate that on your card. Whatever your needs might be, just let us know, okay? We really genuinely want to help. We want to get to know you, and we want to be a blessing in your life. We believe that that is why Jesus instituted the church here, okay? I'm going to pray for us. We're going to sing a song after my prayer, and that's going to give you an opportunity to fill that card out. I want to encourage all of you, please fill that card out. After that song, we'll sing one more. And then we're going to close out after that. There are some baskets back here at the back on these tables. That's where you can drop those cards in there. And I want to encourage you to, again, guys, because we really do want to get to know you, and we want to make sure you're getting taken care of, okay? Again, please come back. See the movie next week. I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to close. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the gift of faith, Lord. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for being a God of healing and love. Thank you for your forgiveness. God, I just want to pray as we get ready to fill these cards out, that we will do so, Lord. And that if we're on the fence about asking for help or asking for that Bible study or getting plugged in, God, but we feel drawn to, we feel prompted to, God, I just pray you'll help us take the next step we need to take in order to tap into your community and your healing that you have, that you are offering to us. Lord, we love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.